I would not want to hear you having sex. We actually broke the bed frame last night. I'll move it away from the wall.
Nice. I once broke a dentist's chair when I was sleeping with that orthodontist, but never a bed.
My nose wrinkled. Thanks for sharing. And now every time I go to the dentist, I'm going to wonder whose naked ass had sex where I'm sitting.
You're welcome.
Fisher winked.
But seriously, how dramatic would I sound if I said you looked radiant?
Something about you has changed, but I can't put my finger on it. It's probably because I broke my year-long dry spell. And maybe you're just seeing the muscles in my face relax for the first time in a while.
Hmm.
He assessed me.
No, you had that going on this morning. The wild, just-fucked hair was a good look for you, by the way. But it's something more. You seem lighter or something.
There was no one on this earth who could read me like Fisher, which really spoke volumes about my past relationship. Aiden had never paid enough attention to know if something was bothering me. I reached over and took Fisher's hand. Lacing my fingers with his, I squeezed. You're so good at being my friend. I wasn't going to say anything because I don't want to make it more than it is, but I called my mom today, right before we left for the train, actually. Fisher's eyebrows rose.
What made you do that?
I've been doing a lot of thinking about forgiveness and trying to move on with my life. I shrugged. I want to make Hudson something she always cooked for me that I loved, so I thought that might be a good place to start.
She must have been happy to hear your voice.
I frowned. She was. We didn't talk for very long, though. I asked her if I could have the recipe and then asked her if they were doing okay. She definitely seemed hesitant. I got the feeling she was afraid to say anything wrong. We were on the phone maybe 5 minutes. When we said goodbye, she asked if I'd call again soon, and I said I'd try. This time it was Fisher who squeezed my hand.
Good for you. I think it's time, my Stella Bella.
After we finished shopping, Fisher and I took the subway back to the city. We were going two different directions, so we said goodbye at Grand Central Station. He kissed the top of my head and gave me a big hug.
I'm happy for you, he said. I have a really good feeling about things between you and the Adonis. I see a bright future.
Always afraid to jinx myself, I said thank you, rather than telling him I agreed. But deep down, I saw something bright in the future, too. I just never expected that brightness to come from a giant explosion.
Chapter 26. What are you two up to in there? Charlie held out her hand.
You're not allowed in here, Daddy.
Why not?
Because we're making a surprise.
But I'm the only one going to be surprised since the two of you are in on it. My daughter giggled.
Surprises can be for one person, Daddy.
I caught Stella's eye and winked. Why don't I put on some music while you guys work in the kitchen? Maybe some Katy Perry or Taylor Swift. As expected, Charlie jumped up and down. She pressed her palms together as if she needed to pray in order for me to do something she asked, as if I wouldn't jump off a cliff to make her happy.
Can you put on Dolly?
I chuckled. Sure. I turned on the music, sat down in the living room, and put my feet up on the coffee table. Grabbing the TV remote, I flicked on ESPN with closed captioning and started to read the bottom of the screen. They were interviewing a new running back the Giants had drafted for the upcoming season. Big Blue was my team, so I was definitely interested, yet I couldn't stay focused. Every few minutes, my eyes wandered back to the kitchen. I could see Stella and Charlie working away on whatever they were cooking. Stella stood while my daughter sat on the counter mixing something. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I watched my daughter cover her mouth as she giggled. The smile on Stella's face was pretty fucking fantastic, too. Not to sound like a pussy, but I got this fullness in my chest that gave me a warm feeling. Ah, fuck it, who was I kidding? I didn't give a shit if I sounded like a pussy. I was happy, really fucking happy. It had been years since I'd felt like I had a real family, and even though I'd only known Stella a few months, and this was the first time the three of us had hung out, my house felt like a home today. I'd been looking toward the kitchen, but I must have zoned out while I was thinking, because when my eyes came into focus again, Stella was squinting at me. She smirked, as if to say, "What's going on in that head of yours?" She probably assumed I was picturing her naked in my kitchen, or remembering all the places I'd fucked her in my house over the last week, rather than daydreaming about spending nights with my two ladies, playing board games, and making a fire for them this winter in the fireplace I never used. A half hour later, the table was set, and I was finally allowed to see what the two of them had been concocting. Stella set a towel-covered casserole dish on the table, and Charlie leaned across, looking at Stella, who gave her a nod.
"Ta-da!"
My daughter ripped the towel off. "Macaroni and cheese? You two find a new box to try out?" Charlie shook her head.
"We made it from itch."
Stella smiled. "That's scratch, sweetie. We made it from scratch." "It looks delicious." I looked around the table theatrically. "But where are yours? This one is just for me, right?" Charlie giggled.
"We have to share it, Daddy. There's enough for all of us."
I salivated as Stella dished each of us a heaping plate of my favorite food. I couldn't wait to dig in. "This is really good," I said a few moments later.
"Thanks. I called my mom for her recipe today."
I hadn't expected her to say that, and I didn't want to mention anything around Charlie, so I spoke cryptically. "How did that go?" Stella shrugged.
"It was pleasant, I guess."
I nodded. "Well, thank you. It really is delicious." She smiled.
"It was time."
Oblivious to my meaningful exchange with Stella, my daughter spoke with her mouth full.
"Daddy, after dinner, can we have ice cream and play secrets?"
I pointed to her dish with my fork. "You're not even halfway done with what's in front of you, and you're worried about dessert? Maybe you'll be too full for ice cream." Charlie snickered, as if I'd just told a joke.
"There's always room for ice cream, Daddy. It melts once it's in your belly, so it's not even really food."
"What's the secrets game?" Stella asked. "I don't think I've ever played before." "It's not really a game. We just eat ice cream and take turns telling each other secrets." I didn't want to explain in front of Charlie that it was something my dad had done with my sister and me after our mom first got diagnosed with cancer. It was his way of teaching us that we could always confide in him, trust him to keep our secrets and tell us his.
"Can it be any secret?" Stella asked.
"Whatever you want," I said. She grinned.
"I'm in."
The macaroni and cheese left us all full, so we retreated to the couch after dinner to watch a movie. Charlie laid her head on my lap with her body spread out to my left, and Stella sat on my right. Halfway through Inside Out, Charlie was snoring. I couldn't blame her. A nap sounded pretty good after that meal, and we'd watched this movie at least 50 times. At one point, Stella got up to go to the bathroom, so I slipped out from under my daughter and carefully set her head down. Then I waited in the hall. When Stella opened the door, I grabbed her arm and yanked her into the adjoining guest bedroom. She giggled, and I put my hand over her mouth. "Shh, she has stealth hearing." Stella nodded, so I took my hand away. She whispered,
"What are you doing?"
I wanted to say thank you for dinner.
"You already did."
I meant properly. Cupping the back of her neck, I sealed my lips over hers. "You always smell so damn good," I groaned. She sucked on my tongue.
"You always taste so good."
Fuck, this was probably a dumb idea. I could feel myself getting worked up already. But I hadn't had a minute alone with her since she got here, and I needed it. Pressing her against the door, I took her mouth in a rough kiss. When I was done, we were both breathing heavy. I wiped her bottom lip as I spoke. "You called your mother." Her face softened.
"Yeah. I don't think I'll be going over there for dinner anytime soon, but what you said really resonated with me. Life is short, and you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't want to have regrets, and I'm ready to move on."
I looked back and forth between her eyes and cupped her cheek. I'm glad. She turned her head and kissed my palm. Do you think Charlie's asleep for the night? Maybe I should get going. Definitely not. She's going to wake up and demand ice cream any minute now. Stella smiled. And then I'll get to hear one of your secrets. I was kind of looking forward to that. Oh, yeah? She nodded. Well, let me tell you one now. I crooked my finger for her to come closer. When she did, I moved my mouth to her ear and whispered, I'm fucking crazy about you, sweetheart. She looked at me and smiled. I'm crazy about you, too. Sure enough, Charlie woke about 10 minutes before the movie ended. She stretched her arms over her head.
Can we have ice cream now?
I chuckled. You're barely awake.
I'm awake enough for ice cream.
All right. Why don't you two go sit at the table and I'll make us bowls? You want the works? Charlie nodded fast with a toothy smile. I lifted my chin to Stella. How about you?
What's in the works?
Whipped cream, sprinkles, nuts, banana slices, and chocolate sauce. She licked her lips.
Definitely.
In the kitchen, I whipped up 3 bowls. Setting them down at the table, I said, All right, who wants to go first? Charlie pointed to Stella.
Stella, I want to know her secret.
Oh boy, Stella said.
You need to give me a minute so I can think of one.
We shoveled ice cream into our mouths until eventually Stella raised her hand.
Thought of one.
She leaned over the table toward Charlie and lowered her voice.
No one knows this.
Are you sure you can keep a secret? My daughter's eyes were wide with mirth, and she nodded rapidly.
Okay. Well, when I was about 8 or 9, not too much older than you, I found this turtle at the park. It was only about this big.
Stella made a circle the size of a golf ball with her hands.
I brought it home and asked my parents if I could keep it, but they said no because they thought he belonged outside. So the next day, I went back to the park and tried to set him free. I put him back in the area of the grass where I'd found him, but he blended in so well that at least a half dozen kids almost squished him while they were running around playing. I just knew if I left him there, he'd get hurt. So that night, I snuck him back into the house and kept him in a drawer in my room. A week later, my mom found him when she was in my room putting away laundry. She made me go put him back again. I did, but every chance I got, I'd go check on him. I tried putting him in a corner of the park that was safer, but he would find his way back to areas where kids ran around. I was worried about him a lot. A few weeks later, my family was going to Florida for vacation, to Disney and SeaWorld. So I tucked the turtle into my backpack, snuck him into SeaWorld, and set him free inside the turtle exhibit. I figured he'd be safe there.
I raised a brow. You smuggled an animal into SeaWorld? Stella nodded.
I like to think of it as helping him get asylum, but yes. Daddy, can we go to SeaWorld? Maybe we'll see the turtle Stella saved.
I didn't have the heart to tell her the thing was likely long dead. Maybe someday. Charlie shoveled a spoonful of ice cream into her mouth.
Your turn, Daddy.
I admitted that I'd never been to SeaWorld and then gave the floor to my daughter. She tapped her pointer to her lips as the wheels in her head turned.
Can mine just be a secret that Stella doesn't know? I can't think of anything you don't know, Daddy.
Sure. Charlie leaned toward Stella, mimicking what Stella had done earlier. She cupped both hands around her mouth and whispered,
My name isn't really Charlie.
Wow, okay.
That is a pretty big secret. I had no idea. Stella's eyes flickered to mine, and I nodded confirmation before her attention returned to my daughter.
Is Charlie short for something?
She asked. My daughter shook her head.
I was named after my grandma's. My middle name is Charlotte, like Daddy's mom was.
So Charlie is short for Charlotte, which is your middle name? But then what's your first name?
My mommy's mom's name. Lakin.
Lakin? Stella's brows drew together.
So your name is Lakin Charlotte?
Charlie nodded.
Daddy, can I have more whipped cream on my ice cream?
She tilted her bowl toward me and frowned.
Mine's all gone.
That's because you ate it. But I guess so. Go grab the can from the fridge, okay? Charlie hopped off her chair, already done with the secrets game and moving on, but Stella looked confused.
Her name is Lakin Charlotte? That can't be a common name combination.
I shrugged. Probably not. My ex-wife's mom passed away a few months before Charlie was born. She wanted to name her after her mom, so we combined our mother's names to honor them both. But after Charlie was born, Lexi had a little postpartum depression, and every time she called the baby Lakin, it made her emotional and upset. So we started calling her by her middle name, Charlotte, but shortened it to Charlie. It stuck. By the time she was a month or two old, Charlie was Charlie, and calling her anything else didn't feel right.
Lakin Charlotte,
Stella repeated. It seemed like it bothered her for some reason. It's not something I think about because she's just Charlie to me. Are you upset I didn't mention that? Stella shook her head.
No, it's not that.
I waited for her to say more, but she just stared off, her head somewhere else.
Is Lexi short for something?
My brows drew together. Lexi, as in my ex-wife? Stella nodded. Her full name is Alexandria, but everyone calls her Lexi. Why? Stella went pale and her eyes grew wide. She looked freaked out. Is something wrong? She shook her head.
No, I just have a headache.
A headache? I frowned. When did it come on?
Just now.
My gut told me she was full of shit, but Charlie came back to the table with a can of whipped cream and shoved her bowl in front of me. I sprayed more than I should have and slid it back to her before returning my attention to Stella. You want some Tylenol?
No, actually, I think I'm just going to get going.
Something was definitely off. You didn't even finish your ice cream.
I know, I'm sorry.
She stood and walked her bowl into the kitchen. I followed, speaking quietly so Charlie wouldn't hear. Is something else bothering you? Why do I feel like we just did something to upset you? Stella smiled, but it was clearly forced.
You didn't. I just need to lie down, I think.
I looked back and forth between her eyes, then nodded. All right. Well, let me call you an Uber.
I can take the train.
No, I'll call you an Uber. You're not feeling well. I pulled the phone from my pocket and opened the app. Punching in Stella's address, the screen flashed that the driver would be arriving pretty damn fast. I turned the screen and showed it to her. 4 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Stella spent a minute collecting her things and said goodnight to Charlie, who gave her a big hug. I'll be back in 1 second, I said to my daughter. You finish up your ice cream while I walk Stella out.
Okay, Daddy.
At the front door, I stepped outside with Stella and pulled it partially closed behind me. You sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm positive.
She looked down.
Sometimes a headache can make me nauseous, so I just think it's better if I go home.
Again, I wasn't buying it, but I nodded anyway. Okay. A car that matched the description of the Uber pulled up at the curb, so I cupped Stella's face and kissed her lips softly. Check the license plate before you get in. It should end in 6FE, and text me when you get home. She nodded.
Good night.
I watched as Stella walked around the car and read the back plate, then climbed into the back seat. She spoke to the driver, and I waited for her to look back and wave goodbye one last time. But she never did. The car simply pulled away from the curb. Something was definitely off, and my gut told me it had nothing to do with a headache. Chapter 27 Stella wasn't at work when I arrived on Monday morning. I walked by her office 3 times before my 9 o'clock meeting. When she still hadn't shown up, I shot off a quick text. Hudson, everything okay? The lack of my phone buzzing caused more of a distraction than if it had rung loudly during the presentation I was supposed to be watching. I couldn't seem to focus. The other night, after Stella left, I'd managed to talk myself into thinking I'd overanalyze shit. That it was just a headache, and everything would be back to normal by Sunday morning. But obviously, that hadn't happened. By the time my meeting ended, it was almost 11, and I still hadn't heard from Stella. Her office door was locked, and the receptionist said she hadn't seen her today, so I headed down to talk to my sister. "Hey, have you talked to Stella today? She's not in yet." My sister stopped writing and looked up. "Hi, Hudson. It's nice to see you this lovely morning, too. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking." "I'm not in the mood," she frowned. "What crawled up your butt? Can you just tell me if you've spoken to Stella today?" Olivia sighed. "Yeah, I spoke to her twice. She's working from home. Didn't she mention it to you?" I shook my head. "Is she feeling okay?" A look of concern registered on my sister's face. "She said she'd had a headache that kept her up the last two nights, but she was feeling better. Everything okay with you two?" I raked my hand through my hair. "Yeah, I think so." My sister gave me the once-over, and her lips formed a grim line. "You think so, but you're not sure. What did you do?" "Me? Why do you think I did something?" "Usually when a man isn't sure if he did something wrong, he did." I shrugged. "Whatever." When I got back to my office, my phone finally buzzed after more than 2 hours of waiting. "Stella, everything is fine. Going to work from home today." I felt a modicum of relief that she wasn't completely ignoring me, but not enough to make the uneasiness in the pit of my stomach go away. So I wrote back, "Hudson, headache gone?" It seemed like a simple enough question, yet I watched as the little dots started to move around, then stopped, then started again before completely stopping. 10 minutes later, a response finally came. "Stella, yes, headache is gone. Thanks for checking in." "Thanks for checking in" felt a hell of a lot like, "Now leave me alone." Whatever. I had work to do. So rather than waste more hours than I already had overanalyzing shit, I tossed my phone on my desk. Maybe I just didn't understand women. The next day, I was happy as shit to see light streaming from Stella's office when I arrived at 7 o'clock. "Hey, you're in." Stella had her nose buried in her laptop. She looked up and smiled, but it didn't quite reach her eyes. "Yeah, sorry about not coming in yesterday." "Nothing to be sorry about. You don't work for me. The space here is yours to use as you need. I was just worried maybe something more was going on than a headache." Stella shuffled some papers around on her desk and avoided eye contact. "No, nothing going on, just a headache. I get them sometimes." A few days ago, I would have walked into her office, shut the door behind me, and taken her mouth in a kiss that left me with a raging hard-on. Yet at the moment, the vibe I felt kept me at her door. In other words, it wasn't just a headache. But she was working, and I had a meeting I needed to prep for, so I wasn't going to push it right now. Nodding toward my office, I said, "I have an early meeting that'll take up most of my morning. You want to get together this afternoon and go through the deliveries that haven't come in yet? We can talk about whatever else is a priority that you might want me to jump in on." "I actually went through the deliveries yesterday. We're on track as of now. I think I have a handle on things. I'm going to sit with Olivia and go through the final marketing stuff in a little while." "Oh, okay," I shrugged. "Maybe lunch later then?" "I'm going to work through lunch with Olivia, and I have a meeting later this afternoon uptown at Fisher's office."
"Fisher's office?"
"It's nothing to do with signature scent." Clearly, she was giving me the brush off, but I was thick.
"Dinner later?" She frowned.
"I'll probably just get a bite to eat with Fisher afterward."
I couldn't get my lips to turn upward to pretend everything was fine, no matter how hard I tried. The best I could muster was a nod to feign understanding. "Let me know if there's anything you need from me."
"Thanks, Hudson.
Chapter 28. 3 nights ago. It had to be a coincidence. I knew that wasn't true, but I kept telling myself it was as the Uber pulled away from the curb. If it didn't, I was pretty sure I was going to vomit all over the poor guy's back seat. I was completely freaked out. The minute we pulled up to my apartment, I flew out of the car and raced for the elevator. When it didn't come in 2 seconds, I decided I'd rather keep busy running up 8 flights of stairs than stand waiting while the inside of my chest felt like a ticking time bomb. In my apartment, I ran straight for my bedroom and dropped to the floor to pull out the plastic bins I kept stowed under my bed. In my panic, I couldn't remember what the outside of the diary I was searching for looked like, or even which storage bin had the most recent books. So I grabbed the first container and started to yank them out one by one. The first bin had at least 30 different diaries packed into it that I'd collected over the years, but none that were recent. I didn't bother to put anything back before ripping the top off the next plastic container. Just a few books into that one, I lifted a red, leather-bound volume that sent a jolt of electricity through my body. 10 seconds ago, I couldn't have identified it in a lineup, but the minute I held it in my hand, I knew. I just knew it was the one. Unlike every other book I picked up, I didn't immediately flip it open and rush to read. Instead, I took a deep breath and steadied myself as the seriousness of the situation hit me all over again. If what I suspected was right, oh God, I know I'm right. A wave of nausea rolled through me, and my hand shook as I cracked open the book and began to read. Dear Diary, this is the first page of a new book, which seems very fitting as I sit here and write today. I know it's been a while since I last wrote, but all the pages in my old book were filled, and I hadn't had anything good to write about to start a new one. Happily, things have recently changed. Summer has been far from boring. In fact, I think this summer has been one of those that musicians write songs about. You see, I met the love of my life. He's sweet and kind, but also sort of broody and tough. Back in May, when I got home from college, my parents dragged me to some boring party that one of their friends was throwing. I hadn't wanted to go, but I'm damn glad I did because I met the man I'm going to marry someday. More soon, A. I stopped to microanalyze every word. Hudson hadn't mentioned how he and his ex-wife had met, specifically, but he'd said their families were friends, and they'd run in the same social circle. I'd assumed H stood for husband, but it could also be Hudson. As I pieced the puzzle together, everything fell into place. My ex-roommate Evelyn had given me this diary for my birthday. Evelyn and Hudson's ex-wife were friends. Maybe Alexandria had given her the diary for safekeeping, or who knows, maybe Evelyn had stolen it. Lord knows she had a penchant for taking things from friends. Alexandria had gotten married at the New York Public Library. That I was certain of. I'd read every detail of her planning. Hudson had also gotten married there, just like his parents before him. I was also 99.99% sure that the child Alexandria had written about was named Lakin Charlotte. I remembered because it was the only time the writer had used anyone's name but her own. Everywhere else, she'd referred to people with initials, but on the day her daughter was born, she'd written her name, Lakin Charlotte. It wasn't a common name, but I needed that extra 0.01% of certainty, and I needed it now. No way I could keep reading from the beginning and wait until I got to that point. So I flipped frantically until I found the section I remembered. Dear Diary, today I became a mother. A mother? I had to write that again because I still can't believe it. The birth was all the gruesome stories of pain I'd heard and then some, but the moment they laid my little girl in my arms, I forgot all about the agony of delivery. She's perfect. In absolutely every way. At 2:42 today, my life changed. I took one look in my baby's eyes and knew in my heart of hearts that I needed to be a better person, a stronger person, a more selfless person, an honest person. I'm so proud to be my sweet girl's mother, and today I make the promise to become a person she can be proud of someday, too. Welcome to the world, Lycan Charlotte. A. I dropped the book to my lap and closed my eyes. Hudson's ex-wife was Lycan Charlotte's mother, Charlie's mother. But unfortunately, that was all I could say for sure. Because according to other entries in her diary, that was all Alexandria could say for sure. She'd kept a secret from her husband. A big one. This time, I couldn't hold back my nausea. I ran to the bathroom and unloaded the contents of my stomach into the toilet. Chapter 29. 15 months ago. You smell like perfume, Aiden. I took a step away from him after our hug. He sighed.
Not this again. You have samples all over both of our apartments. Of course, some of it gets caught in my clothes.
He turned and walked to his bedroom. I followed. You smell like jasmine. I don't have that here or at your place.
Well, then, it's probably a combination of the shit you have laying around. You, of all people, know that when you combine a lot of smells, you make a new one. Whatever my wool coat picked up must be doing the combining.
Where were you tonight?
Grading midterms at my office. Would you like me to get a note from the security guard I pass on my way out from now on? The better question is, where were you? You still have your shoes on, and your cheeks are red from the cold, so I take it you worked late yourself.
I was at the lab working on the algorithm. Aiden rolled his eyes.
The algorithm, right. I thought we'd put that to bed. We're buying a house with that money.
Just because I agreed we could use our savings to buy a house doesn't mean I need to stop working on my product.
No, but how do I know you were really there?
You don't. But I'm not the one who smells like perfume and has hotel charges on my credit card.
I'm not doing this shit again, Stella.
Aiden put his hands on his hips.
The hotel was a reservation for my parents who were coming to town. I made it a long time ago and forgot to cancel it after they canceled their trip to New York. It had completely slipped my mind when you asked me. A week later, I remembered, so I paid the bill. I didn't think I needed to report back to you.
The story he'd told me did make sense, only he'd never mentioned that his parents were coming to town. And when they had in the past, they'd always stayed at a hotel near his apartment, not on the other side of town. Lately, it was always the same thing. He had an explanation for everything. The hotel charge, smelling like perfume. When my friend from work saw him at a restaurant with a brunette woman looking pretty cozy. A suspicious text. It wasn't one thing, but a bunch of small things that added up.
Look, Aiden walked over and put his hands on my shoulders. Those dumb diaries are planting shit in your head.
I wanted so badly to believe him. But I couldn't let go of all the similarities between the way Alexandria was treating her husband and things between Aiden and me lately. Alexandria would come home and go right to the shower to wash off her lover's smell, just like Aiden had started doing the last few months if I was at his apartment when he got home. Alexandria was super cautious with her phone. Aiden even took his into the bathroom when he showered now, except for that one time he was in the shower when I arrived at his place. I'd found his cell charging on his nightstand and tried to sneak a peek at his text messages while the water was still running, only to find he'd changed his password from the one he'd been using forever. I looked into Aiden's eyes.
Do you promise me? Promise me there is nothing going on with anyone else. I just can't shake the feeling, Aiden.
He leaned closer and looked directly into my eyes.
You need to trust me.
I nodded, though I didn't feel settled. That night, we went to sleep like we had most nights lately, with a quick peck on the lips and no sex. That was yet another thing that had changed over the last 6 months and only added to my suspicions. The following week, everything had mostly returned to normal, until Fisher called one morning while I was making toast.
Hey, you told me Aiden was going out of town tonight, right? That's one of the reasons you moved our monthly movie night from Sunday to Friday.
Yeah. He's going to a conference upstate on incorporating new technology into college lectures. Why?
I ran into that weird guy Simon he works with. The one who parts his hair down the middle and brushes it straight down on the sides? I got stuck talking to him at your Christmas party a few years back, and he spent half an hour explaining how the helium balloons are bad for our marine environment. I remember Simon. What about him? Well, we go to the same gym. I see him every once in a while and try to avoid him. But this morning, the only treadmill open was next to him, so I had to run beside the guy. He noticed my water bottle and started lecturing me about the effects of plastic on Mother Earth. I tried to change the subject, so I asked him if he was going to the conference. Okay. He said it was last weekend. What? I stopped with the butter knife mid-spread, my toast forgotten. Maybe they have it over a few weekends? That's what I figured. I know you've been having a hard time with trusting Aiden lately, so I wasn't going to mention it to you, but it was bugging me. So I Googled the conference. It was last weekend. Only last weekend, Stell. After I didn't say anything for a long time, I heard the worry in Fisher's voice. Are you okay? Oddly, I felt sort of numb, not frantic and freaked out like I'd been when I first started to suspect something. Maybe deep down I'd known the truth all along, but I was positive Aiden was never going to admit anything. Yeah, I'm okay.
What are you going to do?
Do you think you can borrow your friend's car again?
Probably. Why?
Could you do that and be here at 4?
I thought movie night was going to start at 6.
It was, but change of plans. Aiden's leaving at 4, and I want to follow him. There he is. I pointed to Aiden as he walked out the front entrance of his building, wheeling his luggage. Fisher and I were parked 4 cars away, waiting. I slumped down in my seat, even though Aiden had turned left, the opposite direction of where we were. He kept his Prius in a parking garage about 2 blocks away.
Should I follow him?
Fisher said. I shook my head. It's going to take him a few minutes to get down to the garage, and then it's at least 10 minutes for the valet to pull the car around. We should probably wait until he goes inside so he doesn't see us.
Okay.
Tailing someone wasn't as easy as it looked on TV, especially in New York City. Since only a few cars at a time make any given traffic light, anxiety built inside me each time we got separated. But somehow we managed not to lose him. We trailed a few cars behind on the FDR Drive and then followed him onto I-87.
It looks like he's heading upstate,
Fisher said.
But I called the place that held the conference he told you he was going to. It was definitely only last weekend.
I shook my head. I don't know what to think. Maybe he's meeting a woman up where the conference is anyway? So a new hotel charge makes sense?
Maybe. You've called him out on enough stuff that he knows you're suspicious.
We drove for a while. Long enough that it seemed that was exactly what Aiden was doing, and we were going to be on the road for a while. But as we approached the exit near where Fisher and I grew up, Aiden put on his blinker and moved into the right lane. He knows the area, so he probably needs a bathroom break or gas and figured he'd stop here. Fisher dropped back a bit, letting a few extra cars get between us so we weren't right behind him when we stopped at the exit ramp light. You're oddly good at this tailing thing, Fisher. He smiled.
It's not my first rodeo, love. Gay men can't keep it in their pants for too long. Unfortunately, I've done this before.
Without me? He shrugged.
I figured you'd lecture me for following someone.
He was probably right. A year ago, I would have told him if he felt the need to follow someone, the person didn't have his trust, and the relationship was doomed. Yet here I was. It was a stark reminder not to judge others unless I'd walked in their shoes.
Where the hell is he going? Fisher asked.
Aiden had passed all the little stores and the gas station right off the parkway. He was actually heading toward the neighborhood Fisher and I had grown up in, where my parents and Fisher's dad still lived. When Aiden made a right into the development where my parents lived, we had to drop back a lot, since there were no cars between us. I again slumped down in my seat. Is he going to my parents' house? What the heck would he be going there for? Fisher wiggled his brows.
Maybe he's one of your mom's downstairs guests.
Ew, don't be gross.
we'd been joking. But sure enough, Aiden made a left and drove down my parents' block. "Don't turn," I said. "If he's going to my parents' house, we should be able to see from here. Can you just pull up to the corner enough for us to peek?" Fisher parked right at the stop sign, and we leaned forward to peer down the block. The Prius slowed and pulled into my parents' driveway. "What the hell is he doing? Why wouldn't he tell me he was coming here? I just spoke to my mom the other day, and she didn't mention he was stopping by." Fisher shrugged. "Maybe they're planning a surprise party for you or something." "My birthday isn't for 9 months." Once Aiden got out of the car and disappeared into the house, Fisher and I decided to pull down the block. We parked a few houses away and slid down in our seats. For the next hour, I kept going over all the things that had made me suspicious. I finally sighed. Maybe Aiden's right and the diary I'm reading has made me paranoid, making me see things that aren't there.
"You had suspicions before you started reading this one," Fisher reminded me.
"Yeah, but," I shook my head, "I don't know. I've definitely become obsessive about the idea that Aiden might be cheating, and I think a lot of it might be because of the stuff I'm reading. I mean, it's my third time reading this damn diary, and I sit on the stairs at the library wondering if the people around me might be Alexandria or her husband. I just don't understand how she can cheat on him, and then not tell him the baby she gave birth to might not even be his.
And the guy she's sleeping with, he's her husband's buddy, right?"
I nodded. "It's terrible. It's like the ultimate betrayal. Your wife and your best friend."
"Yeah, that's pretty shitty," Fisher said. "Not much gets worse than that."
The door to my parents' house opened, and my heart jolted in my chest. "Someone's coming." Fisher and I slouched down as far as we could, while still being able to see out the window. My parents and my sister walked outside and stood on the top step, talking to Aiden for a few minutes. Eventually, my mom and dad said goodbye and went back inside, while my sister walked Aiden to his car. When they got to the Prius, they both walked around to the passenger side, and Aiden opened the door for Cecilia to get in. As she went to climb inside, he grabbed her hand. The rest seemed to play out in slow motion. Aiden pulled her against him and backed her up against the car. A breeze blew her long, dark hair in front of her face, and he brushed it away, right before moving in for a kiss. Stunned, and still in some sort of insane denial, I somehow expected my sister to push him off, like this was the first time it had happened. She'd smack him across the face and push him away. But she didn't. My sister wrapped her arms around my fiancé's neck and kissed him back, two willing participants embroiled in a passionate kiss, in my parents' driveway. I couldn't say a word. My mouth hung open in complete and utter shock. I'd forgotten Fisher was sitting next to me until he spoke.
"I stand corrected. There are worse things than your wife banging your buddy like in the diary you're reading."
He shook his head in disbelief as he gawked with me.
"That's the ultimate fucking betrayal."
Chapter 30.
"Are you shitting me?"
Fisher shook his head.
"Is that even possible?"
I hadn't planned on telling my friend anything, let alone the whole story, but that's exactly what I'd done. I'd told Fisher that Hudson might not be Charlie's father before I'd told Hudson, and I felt so guilty for violating his privacy. But Fisher had known something was off with me all week. Tonight, when he'd walked in and found me in wrinkled pajamas with hair that hadn't been brushed in 2 days and swollen eyes, I didn't really have much choice. I sighed. I'm pretty sure I'm right. All the facts line up. Plus, I got that diary from Evelyn.
How did Evelyn get it?
I have no idea, I shrugged. Olivia mentioned once that Evelyn and Hudson's ex had a falling out because Evelyn took something from her. Maybe what she stole was the diary.
All right. He put his hands on his hips and thought for a moment. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to go brush your hair and wash your face, and I'm going to go next door and get a legal pad and 2 bottles of wine. When I come back, you're going to tell me all the facts. And we'll see if I come to the same conclusion, If I do, we'll figure out your game plan.
I slouched into the couch deeper. I don't want a game plan. Fisher grabbed both my hands and pulled me to standing.
Don't care. When you first started suspecting that Aiden was cheating, I blew it off. I should have sat you down right away and listened and come up with a game plan to get to the bottom of things. I didn't, and you spent months stressing and suffering. We're not going down that road again. We need resolution.
Fisher eyed the top of my head.
Plus, I think there might be a rat or two nesting in here, so go brush. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
I sulked, so Fisher walked me to my bedroom. He kissed my forehead and pushed me toward the bathroom door.
Go.
10 minutes later, we met on the couch. Fisher nodded to an empty wrapper.
You ate that entire thing of chocolate that was delivered?
I frowned. The morning after I'd run out of Hudson's house, a beautiful bouquet of exotic flowers had been delivered, along with an enormous 5-pound Hershey bar. Hudson's note had read, "You make me feel better than any amount of chocolate." I'd eaten the entire thing over the last few days while wondering if that statement would ever be true again. No amount of anandamide could get me out of my funk. "Don't remind me," I said. "I feel awful. Hudson has to be freaking out about why I've disappeared and keep avoiding his calls and messages. But I can't look him in the eyes with what I know. I can't, Fisher. I'm crazy about him. I'm hurting him right now, but it's going to be so much worse when I tell him." Fisher squeezed my hand.
"All right, honey. But you did the right thing. This isn't the type of thing you spring on someone if you're not absolutely certain. And once you're sure, you need to figure out how to break the news gently."
"Fisher," I shook my head. "There is no gently. We're talking about his daughter."
"Okay. But you need to relax a little so we can go through all the details. Let's have some wine at least. You looked less nervous telling 400 guests how you met the bride at the wedding of a woman you'd never seen before."
Fisher poured 2 large glasses of Merlot and sat up straight, his pen ready. He looked very much in lawyer mode.
"Let's get started. When did Evelyn give you this diary?"
"It was a birthday present, around 18 months ago. I remember being surprised she had gotten me anything, because I didn't even think she knew it was my birthday." I thought back. "You'd sent me flowers. When Evelyn saw them, she asked what they were for. I said it was my birthday, and then she went into her room and came out with the diary. It wasn't wrapped or anything."
"Is there any indication of years in the diary? From television programs or anything?"
I shook my head. "I read it at least 12 times from cover to cover over the last few days. I didn't find any."
"Okay."
Fisher scribbled down 18 months on his legal pad and underscored it with 2 bold slashes.
"And when did Hudson and his ex get divorced?"
"He said Charlie was about 2, so that would be 4 years ago."
"So the diary could have been written anywhere from 1.5 years ago to 100 years ago?"
I shrugged. "I guess. But the pages aren't yellowed or anything, so I don't think it's too old."
"Okay. So the timeline works. But it would probably work for 1,000,000 other scenarios, too. Let's move on to names. Your woman's name was Alexandria. Do we know that's Hudson's ex-wife's name for sure?"
I nodded. Hudson had only ever referred to her as Lexi, but the other night when Charlie mentioned her full name, I asked what her mom's name was. "It's Alexandria. And by the way, she also kept a diary. Hudson once mentioned that in passing."
"Okay. That's 2 names in common. What about Hudson? Does the diary ever say his name?"
I shook my head. "She only refers to him as H, which I assumed while reading stood for husband. But obviously that could stand for Hudson. And the guy she was having an affair with is her husband's best friend, and she calls him Jay. Hudson's best friend's name is Jack." Fisher scribbled some more notes.
"There's thousands of people named Jack. It's a common name. I bet Alexandria is, too. Again, all circumstantial."
"But she wrote down her daughter's name the day she was born. Lakin Charlotte." Fisher's brows pulled together.
"And Hudson's kid's name is definitely Lakin Charlotte?"
I nodded.
Well, that's not such a common combination, obviously. I've never met anyone named Lakin, but I'm sure there are quite a few in New York. We have more than 8 million people who live here. There are 1,662 people named Lakin in the United States who are under the age of 13, according to the Census Bureau. I looked it up.
Shit.
Okay. Well, that's still more than 1,600 people. But when I put in the first name and the last name, Lakin Rothschild, they estimate that there is only one.
Estimate? The Census Bureau isn't sure.
They tell you based on old data. It's more of a statistical type thing than an exact count. But basically, it's not a popular name combination.
All right, what else?
Alexandria was married at the New York Public Library. So were Hudson and Lexi.
Ugh, this isn't looking so good.
Alexandria and H also lived on the Upper West Side, same as Lexi and Hudson. Fisher blew out a deep breath.
So there are definitely a lot of coincidences. But I once read about a set of twins separated at birth. Both were named James by their adoptive parents, and both grew up to be cops and marry women with the same name. They also had kids with the same name, then got divorced and remarried women with the same name for their second marriages. They didn't realize any of it until they met later in life. So, strange shit can happen.
I sighed. I guess. But what do? Say, hey, by the way, I think there's a possibility your daughter isn't yours. Oh, and she might be your lifelong best friend Jax because he was secretly banging your ex-wife? Fisher shook his head.
Jesus.
He knocked back the rest of his glass of wine.
I don't think you have any other choice.
I could burn the diary and pretend I never saw it.
And then what? Never tell the guy his kid might not be his? I know you, Stella. That would eat a hole in your stomach.
I looked into Fisher's eyes. She's the light of his life. I think I'd rather it eat a hole in my stomach than break Hudson's heart.
But you can't even function. You haven't had a real conversation with him since you figured all this out. You can't keep it in unless you're leaving his life entirely.
Fisher frowned.
Christ, if it's true. Think of how many lives that one diary has ruined. You might never have found out what Aiden was doing had you not been reading it. And now this. It's really crazy.
He paused, shaking his head.
But you need to tell him, honey. He has a right to know.
It felt like there was a golf ball stuck in my throat. I swallowed. I know. After our talk, Fisher and I proceeded to polish off both bottles of wine. I was trying to drown my brain, hoping maybe it would allow me to stop thinking about what I needed to do for just a few minutes. But all the alcohol seemed to do was make me feel sadder. I felt tears threatening. I don't want to lose him, Fisher. I miss him like crazy, and it's been less than a week since I saw him. Fisher stroked my hair.
I saw the way Hudson looked at you. That man is crazy about you, too. You're not going to lose him, but you do need to talk to him. It can't be avoided anymore.
I sighed. I know. I've just felt so paralyzed these last few days. I walked Fisher to the door about 10.
I'll bring us breakfast in the morning when you're sober, so we can talk about how you're going to tell him, he said.
I sighed. Okay, thank you. He tilted my chin up.
You going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll see you tomorrow. After I shut the door, I cleaned up the wine glasses and tossed the empty bottles in the garbage. When I went to flip the kitchen light switch off, I saw Fisher had left his key to my apartment on the counter. I assumed he'd figure it out in the morning when he came with breakfast, so I flicked off the kitchen light and decided I couldn't put off a shower any longer. In the bathroom, I got undressed while I let the water steam up the room. Just as I put one foot into the shower, my buzzer sounded. I sighed. Fisher realized he doesn't have his key. Wrapping a towel around me, I grabbed the key on my way to the front door. Maybe the alcohol had me acting carelessly, but it never even occurred to me that it might be someone other than Fisher. So, without checking the peephole, I swung the door open. I know, you forgot your key. I froze,
finding a man who was definitely not Fisher on the other side of the door. Hudson's brows pulled to a troubled V.
Expecting someone else?
Fisher forgot his key, so I assumed it was him. Hudson and I stood there looking at each other. I felt so rattled after we'd just spoken about him for hours that I didn't know what to say or do. Hell, I hadn't known what to say or do for a week now. Eventually, he sighed.
Is it all right if I come in?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. I closed the door behind him and tried to regain my wits, but I was so nervous that I couldn't figure out how to function. Again, we stared at each other awkwardly. Hudson had to break our silence.
Sorry I didn't call first.
I tightened the corner of my towel. It's okay.
Is it? I didn't call because I figured you would say no if I did. And right about now, it feels like it's not okay for me to be here.
I hated that I was making him feel unwelcome. I'm sorry. I just wasn't expecting you. Fisher was over and we drank wine, and I was about to take a quick shower and jump into bed. He frowned.
I can go.
No, no, I shook my head. You don't have to go. Hudson caught my eye.
I was hoping we could talk.
I nodded and thumbed toward my bedroom door. Sure, yeah. Let me just go turn off the water and get dressed.
Why don't you take your shower? I'll wait.
I did need a few minutes to gather my thoughts. I'd planned to deliberate for at least a few days on how to tell him what I knew. Now I had only the time it took to take a shower. If you don't mind, that would be great. Thank you. I motioned toward the couch. Make yourself at home. In the shower, my head was a jumbled mess, and I felt a little lightheaded. But I didn't have time for a complete meltdown, so I stood under the water, closed my eyes, and took a few deep breaths until it felt like the world had stopped spinning so fast. There was no easy way to begin the conversation I needed to have, and I could no longer hide behind any doubts I'd fabricated about the information. Everything lined up. Even Fisher was convinced. So I guessed I'd just have to start from the beginning. Hudson already knew I read diaries, and I was pretty sure I'd told him about the one where the woman got married at the New York Public Library. So I suppose something like, I read this diary a while ago, is how I would start. But then what? Did I say, hey, by the way, did you ever suspect your wife was having an affair? That made me hyperventilate. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm right? What if telling him takes the most sacred thing in his life away? Am I ruining a little girl's life? Would I want to know if my dad wasn't really my dad? Oh, God. That thought made my head spin even more. The way my parents slept around, it was entirely possible that my father wasn't my father. Oh, Lord. Who cares about my family? I wished it were me this was happening to, not Hudson and his beautiful little girl. For the rest of my shower, random thoughts popped into my head, and I alternated between trying to keep up with them and trying to calm myself down with slow breathing. Would I die if I climbed out my bedroom window to escape? When my hands started to get pruney, I knew I had to pull my shit together. So I turned off the water, dried off, brushed out my hair, and pulled on sweats and a t-shirt before wiping the steam from the mirror and giving myself a little internal pep talk. Everything's going to be fine. No matter what the outcome, eventually things will fall into a place the way they're supposed to be. It may be a bumpy road, but if a diary about a man I'm crazy about made its way into my hands before I met him, there's a reason for it. Somehow God put this in my hands, and in the end, everything will be right. I took one last deep breath and whispered to myself, "It's all in fate's hands now." Then I opened the bedroom door, only to find it wasn't in fate's hands. It was in Hudson's, because I'd left the diary on the coffee table and he was currently reading it. He looked up.
Why the hell do you have my ex-wife's diary?
Chapter 31. I don't understand. Why would Lexi sell her diary on eBay, and how the hell did you wind up with it? Stella shook her head.
I didn't buy that diary on eBay.
Evelyn gave it to me for my birthday.
Evelyn? Evelyn Whitley?
Yes.
How did Evelyn get it?